Hey, good afternoon, everybody. We'd like to thank Rav Soloveitchik this year and every year for giving the annual Yom HaTovut cheer. And I guess without further ado, Rav Soloveitchik.
There's an important tradition in Klal Yisrael to seek guidance and inspiration from the Parshas HaShavua and the Haftaras HaShavua. The words of the Torah within the Parsha and the words of the Navi within the Haftarah shed light on the events of the week. However, this week, perhaps we can derive clarification not just from what we read, but what we intentionally do not read. Minhagi Yisrael are rooted in Halacha and Hashkafa. A minhag to intentionally omit something expresses a very significant message. I'd like to consider the minhagim of Ashkenazim, in the Haftaras of Achrimos and Kedoshim. The Haftarah of Parshas Achrimos for Ashkenazim is from Amos, Halo Kivnei Chushiyim. The Haftarah of Parshas Kedoshim for Ashkenazim is V'ata ben Adam, Hatishpot Hatishpot Es Ir Adamim V'odata Es Kol Tavo Seho. The Haftarah of Achrimos, Halo Kivnei Chushiyim, brings encouragement to Klal Yisrael suffering from the travails of Golos. As the Rav explains, the Navi Amos in the Haftarah of Achrimos addresses the theme of Golos contained in Achrimos and Kedoshim and teaches us that the Golos, no matter how long it lasts, is only a temporary condition. Bayomahu akim esukas David anofeles vegodartias pritzihen barisosavo kim uvinisiu kimeolam. I will erect David's fallen booth, I will repair the breaches and erect his wounds, and I will rebuild it as in days of old. V'shafti eshlus ami Yisrael, v'anu arim neshamos v'yoshavu, v'natuch ramim v'shasu esyenam, v'asu ganos v'chul esprihem, v'natatim al admasam, v'lo yinashu od me'al admasam, asher nasati lehem amar Hashem l'kecha. I will implant them upon their land, they will not be uprooted again from the land that I have given them. This is the theme that is important for Jews to know in Golos, that Golos, no matter how long it lasts and how harsh it is, it's only a temporary condition. And that's the encouraging message of the Navi Amos in the Haftarah of Achrimos. The Haftarah of Kedoshim, on the other hand, our Haftarah of Ashkenazim of Kedoshim is Yecheskel Chav Beis, is an extremely harsh rebuke of the Jews in Yerushalayim. V'ato ben Adam hatishpot hatishpot esir adamim v'odato eskolto avaseha. Now you ben Adam, will you rebuke the city of bloodshed and let her know all her abominations? This Haftarah is rarely read, according to the Minhag Ashkenaz. And the Ramah in Siman Tav Chav Ches points out that even though the general rule is that when you have two parshios mechubaros, when they're attached and connected, you read them together, the rule is you read the Haftarah of the second parsha. But there's one exception, that's Achrimos Kedoshim. When Achrimos and Kedoshim come together, we read the Haftarah of Aloch Kenech Yishuyim, which is encouraging and comforting, rather than the harsh Haftarah that speaks of about the Tovas Yerushalayim, the Ir HaDomim, the city of bloodshed. And that this, and as Achronim point out, this applies to other circumstances as well. As this year, when Parshas Achrimos was Erev Rosh Chodesh, and we didn't read Haloch Kenech Yishuyim, we read Mochar Chodesh. So when comes Kedoshim, we don't read the Haftarah of Kedoshim, we read the Haftarah of Achrimos, Halach and Yishuyim. We want to minimize in reading the Haftarah, the harsh Haftarah of Tovos Yerushalayim of Kedoshim. If Achrimos is Shavas HaGadol, then, and it's a, they're not Mechubaras, for Kedoshim we read Halach and Yishuyim. So the way it turns out, according to the Luach, is we very rarely read the Haftarah, the harsh rebuke of Tovos Yerushalayim of Kedoshim. I mean, the last time we read it was Tavshin Nun Zayin, which was 22 years ago. So if you walked out and missed it, then the previous time would have been Tavshin Lamed Gimel, which was 24 years before that. So we've read it in twice in the last 46 years. The next time we read it will be in 5 years, in Tavshin Pei Zayin. The Minhag Ashkenaz is to intentionally avoid reading this Haftarah. We read it sometimes. It has to be read sometimes. But we minimize. This is the Minhag Ashkenaz, this is the Psak of the Ramah. And what is this based? It's based on a Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah tells us, Rav Elazar Omer in Maftirin Bahodesh Yerushalayim. So Rav Elazar Shita is, you can't read the Haftarah from Yecheskel Tezayim. That's not Our Haftar HaKdoshim. Our Haftar HaKdoshim is Yecheskel Chav Beis. He's talking about Yecheskel Tazayin. But they're similar in content. They both refer to the Tov as Yerushalayim. So that Haftarah reads, Hoda es Yerushalayim es Tov Oseha. Rashi says, it's referring to that Parsha. Parsha Yecheskel, Hoda Yerushalayim es Tov Oseha. That's how Rashi explains it. So the Yecheskel Tazayin that Rabbi Lezer refers to is very similar to Yecheskel Chav Beis. And Rabbi Lezer holds, you're not allowed to be mafter from it. Why? So the Rambam and Perish Mishnah and Ravadi Ratnur, they say, out of kavod to Yerushalayim, to honor Yerushalayim, to honor Klal Yisrael, we don't speak about Tovas Yerushalayim. This is how it seems from the Rambam and Ravadi Ratnur. Then the Gemara continues on the Chafayon Beis, Maisav Adam Echad, Shahi Korei Lamala Rav Lezer, Hodes Yerushalayim, Tovasa. There was a person who, despite the fact that he was in Rav Lezer's city, and he should have shown kavod to the Mara de Asra, the Rav of the city, and asked whether he's allowed to read this, but he intentionally read before Rav Lezer, Hodei Yerushalayim es Tov Oseha, contrary to Rav Lezer Shita. Even though the Chachamim disagree with Rav Lezer, Chachamim say you can read it, but Rav Lezer holds not, and he read it. So Amalo Rav Lezer dem ad she'ati, spoke to him very harshly, ad she'ata bodek betovos Yerushalayim, tseyu bedok betovos imcha. You are investigating the abominations of Yerushalayim. Why don't you better investigate the abominations of your mother? So Batku Achrav, they investigated him, Umatzobo Shemetz Psol. And he was found to have a defect. There was a defect in his maternal lineage that was uncovered. This is what the Gemara says. Now, although the halacha is not in accordance with Rav Lezer, the minhag of Ashkenazim is to minimize reading publicly about Torah Yerushalayim. And therefore, even though Allah is not like Rav Lezer, we minimize. And therefore, whenever Achrimos and Kedoshim come in a situation where we didn't read the Haftarah of Halach and the Gishim Achrimos, we read it rather than the Haftarah of Hasishpat. Now, what was Rav Lezer's objection to reading Yecheskel Tazayin? So, why? So, it's the simple meaning is because It contains the phrase Tovas Yerushalayim. This is what he said to this reader. He said to the reader, if you're investigating Tovas Yerushalayim, why don't you investigate Tovas Simcha? That seems to have been his objection. And that's the basis for the minhag of the Ramah. That even though the halacha is not like Rav Lezer, we're allowed to read it, but we don't want to. We minimize it. We only read it on rare occasions. The Levush, however, argues on the Ramah, and he says, we don't have to refrain from reading Yecheskel Tazayin. Rabbi Lezer's objection was only to Yecheskel Chav Beis, not to Yecheskel Tazayin. Why? Because in the Yecheskel Chav Hei, that Chav Beis, that Rabbi Lezer referring to, he wasn't objecting to the expression Tovas Yerushalayim. If you read a little further, the Navi says as follows, Ben Adam Hoda es Yerushalayim es Tov Oseha, V'amarta Ko Amar Hashem L'kim L'Yerushalayim. Let Klal Yisrael know the abominations of Yerushalayim. And tell them the following. Tell them the following, M'chorosayach U'moldosayach M'eretz HaKnani, your birthplace was Eretz Knan, your father Avicha HaMori V'ime Chitis. It's a very harsh rebuke. Your father is an Amori and your mother is a Chitis. So the Navi was telling the Dvar Hashem, by your actions, it appears as if your father was an Amori and your mother was a Chitis. Amori, the Amorim were the prime example, Moriam were prime example of abominations. The Gemara uses the phrase Darkei Amori. And the Chitim, as far as women were concerned, are the prime example of ill character. As Rivka said, katzdi b'chayayim et neim nosheis. So the Navi says, by your actions, avicha ha'mori v'imei chitis. And that's really what Rabbi Lezer objected to. He did not want to read publicly this phrase, this rebuke. Avicha ha'mori. Our shorish, our roots are in the Avos and the Imos, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, to use this phrase publicly, avicha ha'mori v'imei chitis. The Levush says, that was Rabbi Lezer's objection. And that's why he said to him, if you're being bodek in the Tovos Yerushalayim, why aren't you bodek in the abominations of your mother? What he objected to was this public declaration of this harsh rebuke of Avicha Amori v'imei chitis. This is what the Levush says. So then the question is, and Levush himself asked this, so why didn't Rabbi Elazar say that? Why did he say, Achata bodhi v'tovah shirlaim? He should have said, if you are speaking of Avicha Amori v'imei chitis, go check out your own lineage. So he says, Rabbi Elazar didn't even want to mention it. He didn't want to use those words. So he hinted at it and said, Achata bodek v'tovah shirlaim, tseyub dok b'imcha. This is what the verse says. So therefore the verse says, this is insofar Rabbi Elazar was objecting to Yecheskel Chaf Beis. He wasn't objecting to the phrase Tovas Yerushalayim. Rebuke has to be said. So when it comes to Yecheskel Tes Zayin, which we read for Kedoshim, there's no objection. So the verse says, if Achrimos and Kedoshim are together, you read Kedoshim, you read for the Haftarah of Achrimos and Kedoshim, read Hasishpot. It mentions Tovas Yerushalayim. Rabbi Elazar never objected to that, so why should we minimize in that? And similarly, this year, when we didn't read the Haftar of Achrimos, according to Levush, so you would still read the Haftar of Kedoshim, because that was never within the objection of Rabbi Elazar, and therefore there's no basis for a minig to minimize. But what I'd like to discuss is, why, let's say, according to the understanding of what seems from the Rambam, or about the Brad Nura and the Ramah, that his objection was Tovas Yerushalayim. So why did he say to him, why did he mention that defect in his lineage? What's the significance of mentioning that? And even according to Levush, that he mentioned the defect in his lineage because that was his primary objection, because of the phrase of Avicha Amori v'imei chitis. Why did he only mention the defect in his maternal lineage? Why did he pick the maternal lineage? Why didn't he say Tseyub Dok b'Avicha? Why did he say Tseyub Dok b'Imcha? Why did he mention specifically his maternal lineage? So I'd like to suggest that Rabbi Elazar was indicating that the reader lacked the direction and instruction provided by the generations of Imos and of Klal Yisrael. And because he was deprived of a genuine mother image, his understanding of Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was diminished and lacking. The Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, we have to understand that the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael is a Mesorah of Avos and Imos. The Mesorah begins with the Avos Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and the Imos, or Rivka Rachel Leah, Shema Bini Musar Avichav Al Titarsh Tzara Simecha. So throughout the generations, our Mesorah has been a Mesorah of Avos Imos. Shlosha Miyodeya, Arba Miyodeya. One can't approach the limud of Torah of Chamisha and the limud of Torah Shvapel of Shisha unless it's built upon the foundation of the Mesorah of the Avos and the Imos. The Navi Yeshayo says, Habitu al Avram Avichem v'osor t'cholelchem. Look at your forefather Avram and at your mother Sarah that bore you. Look to them. They are your models. That's the Mesorah begins. The Torah says, Kol asher tomar lecha Sarah shma v'kola. We see the Mesorah was not just a Mesorah of Avos, it's a Mesorah of Imos. Rivka, when Yaakov says to Rivka, Ulayim usheni aviva yisi beinov kemisateya v'avisi alai brochav lo kola. But tomer lo imo, olai kolas chabini, yachshma b'koli v'leich kachli, listen to me. Listen to my directive. I know what I'm telling you. And the Targum says, Alai yisamar b'nevuah delo yesin levatai alach b'ri. It was revealed to me in Nevuah exactly what's going to happen. So bram kabil minei. Listen to me. What I'm telling you is Alpi Nevuah. The Mesorah was not just a Mesorah of Rami Yitzchak and Yaakov, it was a Mesorah of the Imos as well. And insofar, who built Klal Yisrael? Who built the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael? Yaakov Avinu. Was it only Yaakov? What does the Pasuk in Ruth say? What did the Kol Ha'am Asher B'Shar and the Zekenim say to Boaz? Yitein Hashem Yisho HaBoel B'Secha K'Rachel U'Chulei Asher Banu Shteyam Es Beis Yisrael. So the Beis Yisrael was built by Yaakov together with Rachel and Leah. A Mesorah is a Mesorah Avos and Imos. And this Mesorah continued at Matan Torah U'Moshe Allah L'Kim V'Yekroi Lav Hashem Minahar Le'mar Ko Samar L'Beis Yaakov V'Sageil L'Nei Yisrael Chazal say, Beis Yaakov Yil Anoshim, and Beis Yisrael is Harim. And Rashi mentions what the Medrash says, it had to be in that Seder, in that specific order. The Noshim had to be addressed first, because the foundation of Chinuch HaBanos is the way mothers raise children, as it seems from the Medrash. So perhaps Rabbi Lezer was telling the reader, if you without any hesitation read publicly about Tovas Yerushalayim, then you have not absorbed the Mesorah of the Imos of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps there's a defect in your maternal lineage. What are the roles of a Jewish father and Jewish mother? Shema mini busar avicha v'alti Torah shasamecha. Musar means admonition. Torah means teaching. A father is mechuyev to teach his children in the midst of Talmud Torah, teach Torah. Talmud Torah means specific instructions. You have to tell them exactly what the halacha is. And learning Torah requires effort and concentration. And sometimes, at times, it can be difficult and harsh, but a father's mechuyev to instruct his children and to teach them Torah. Mother's not mechuyev as to teach her children Torah, but she teaches them Torah values. She teaches them through her action, through her interaction with her children, with her motherly love, with avas ha'em. She inculcates Torah values in her children. The Gemara says in Sechas Dushan Daf Lamed Aleph, why does the Torah say Kavod Avicha V'Imecha? It mentions the mother first. Ish Imo V'Avitiro, it mentions the father first in Keshut Kibud. In Keshut Mora, Ish Imo V'Avitiro, it mentions the mother first. So the Gemara says, Goliv Yaduf Nemi Shama V'Hayolam Shebein Mechavod Imo Yosher Me'Aviv. A son naturally would mechavod his mother more than his father. Why? V'Pnei Shemishadalto B'Dvarim. Because she interacts with him, she speaks with him with pleasant and tender words. A mother's image is different than a father's image. The way a mother transmits the Mesorah of the Imos is different. A father directs with specific instructions that can be demanding and often harsh. A mother's Mishadalto B'Dvarim, she speaks to him with pleasant and tender words. The words of my father in one of his articles, it is the father who admonishes, disciplines, curbs, and tempers, and is the mother who imparts Torah inspiration, insight, and values. A mother usually does not impart Torah through instruction in books or through intellectual reasoning. The mother imparts the purely practical aspects of Torah through tender, tolerant, and sympathetic guidance, end quote. The Rav, in his book, Family Redeemed, discusses the complementary missions of mother and father as well. Let me quote what he writes. He writes, there is a distinction between mother's and father's mission within the covenantal community, since they represent two different personalistic approaches. Father's teaching is basically of intellectual nature. Judaism is to a great extent an intellectual discipline, a method, a system of thought, a hierarchy of values. In order to be acquainted with all these aspects, one must study, comprehend, acquire knowledge, and be familiar at least with its basic principles. Let me confide. It is not too easy a task. The teaching must be strict, exact, and conscientious. If the father cannot accomplish it all by himself, he must see to it that his child obtains the necessary instruction. However, Judaism is not only an intellectual tradition, but an experiential one as well. The Jew not only observed, but experienced the Shabbos. The Jew experienced Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He did not only recite prayers in those days. The Seder was not just a ceremonial, but a great experiential event. There is beauty, grandeur, warmth, and tenderness to Judaism. All these qualities cannot be described in cognitive terms. One may behold them, feel them, sense them. It is impossible to provide one with a formal training in the experiential realm. Experiences are communicated not through the word, but through steady contact, through association, through osmosis, through a tear or a smile, through dreamy eyes and soft melody, through the silence at twilight and the recital of Shema. All this is to be found in maternal domain. The mother creates the mood. She is the artist who is responsible for the magnificent solemnity and beauty. She tells the child of the great romance of Judaism. She somehow communicates to him the tremor, the heartbeat of Judaism, while playing, singing, laughing, and crying. End quote. When we speak of the roles of father and mother, it's important to understand that we are speaking of primary roles. How every father must sometimes act as a mother, and every mother must act as a father. The Sefer Melachim describes the scene of Eliyahu Navi departing from Elisha. They're walking together, speaking to each other. They're walking together. A chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Vayal Eliyahu basara shamayim, and Eliyahu ascended to the heavens in a whirlwind. Ve'Elisha roel, Elisha was watching and he saw, he was observing. V'hu mitzaik, he cried out. Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav, my father, Israel's chariot and horseman. And the Medrash says about this, Avi, Avi, Ze Avi V'Imo. Rechav Yisrael, Ze Rabo Shalom Do Chachma. So Elion Avi was a Rebbe to Elisha, but he also was a father to Elisha. He was a mother to Elisha. A father sometimes has to act like a mother sometimes to act like a father, but there is a distinction between the primary roles of father and mother. Now Chazal compare Kibbet Avim to Kibbet HaMakom, as the Gemara says in Mechsechas Kedushin. Nemar Kabedes Avichas V'Imecha V'Nemar Kabedes Hashem Eonecha Hishva HaKosuv Kibbet Avim L'Kibbet HaMakom. The Torah equates Kibbet Avim to Kibbet HaMakom, to the Kibbet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rav again says in Family Redeemed, and I quote, the Braisa does not merely parallel the honor and fear that one is obligated to display towards one's parents with the honor and fear due to the Almighty. The Braisa rather identifies the two acts. When one honors or reveres his natural parent, father or mother, he ipso facto honors or reveres God. End quote. As the Rav explains, God acts as both our father and mother. We cannot know what form of parental concern God will display at any particular time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, our Father in Heaven. V'yadato im levecha. You have to know in your heart. Ki kasher yaser ish es b'no Hashem l'kechem yasrecha. As a father chastises his child, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu chastises Klal Yisrael, with the ava of a father, because he's concerned about our destiny. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his father, he's our teacher and disciplinarian, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also our mother. Ki ish asher imo t'nechemenu. The Pasuk says, Kein anochi anachem chem, Yerushalayim t'nechemu. As one whose mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and Yerushalayim will be comforted. The Rav explains that Chazal identified Kibbet Avim with Kibbet HaMakom because in actuality, the parental concern of a Jewish father or Jewish mother is an expression of divine concern. The Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin, Rav Yosef, Ki Yavashama Kalkara Dami Da'ime Amar Eikom Mikam Mishchin Da'asya. When Rav Yosef would hear the footsteps of his mother, he would say, let me rise, because the Shekhinah is coming. In the words of the Rav, and I quote, what is transient fatherhood and motherhood, if not a reflected beam of light coming to us from beyond the frontiers of the cosmos? And what is paternal and maternal concern, if not an echo of the great concern of the Almighty? Whenever Rav Yosef heard the footsteps of his mother, he would say, let me rise, because the Shekhinah is coming. Behind every mother, young or old, happy or sad, trails the Shekhinah. And behind every father, erect or stooped, in playful or stern mood, walks Malka Kadisha, the Holy King. This is not mysticism, it is halacha. The awareness of the Shekhinah results in the obligation to rise before father and mother. End quote. And now, with this in mind, we return to the Gemara and Megillah. Ma'aseh ba'adam echad, shahaya kore lamal Rab Lezer, holda esher laim stovaseh. He read about the Haftarah, in whatever week it was, he read about the abomination of Shalayim. Amalo, he said to him, Achata bodek betov Shalayim, seyub do betov simcha. Batku achra of matzapo shemetz psul. They found a defect, a psul, in his maternal lineage. There are portions of the VM that express harsh rebuke and predictions of disaster to Klal Yisrael on account of their sins. This is expressive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to Klal Yisrael as a father. He is our teacher and disciplinarian. When he disciplines, it is with the love of a father to ensure our destiny. There are other portions in the VM that are expressive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mother relationship to Klal Yisrael. As a mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains close to Klal Yisrael despite the sins of Klal Yisrael. As the Rav expresses it, and I quote again, neither sin nor disobedience nor rebellion can sever the bond uniting mother and her baby. The Shekhinah is always present. The name is indicative of her presence. Hashocheni tam b'toch tumosam, who dwells with them in the midst of their impurity, end quote. So perhaps what Rabbi Lezer was saying is to the reader is that you have no hesitation in reading the harshest of the prophetic visions without any desire to include the comforting portions of the Nevi'im. Do you not realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only our father, he is our mother as well? Have you not experienced Jewish motherhood? as an expression of the motherly concern of the Shekhinah, if you would have experienced genuine Jewish motherhood, you would know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our mother as well as our father. If you're boding in Tov HaYerushalayim and you don't feel the need to include in your reading an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role as a mother, then it means you didn't experience genuine Jewish motherhood. Then Seyu B'dok, B'tov HaSimcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father and a mother has sustained Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with his teachings, his advice, his encouragement, and his comfort. And Yom HaTzmaut is appropriate to recognize the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted Klal Yisrael as a mother and as a father. The Holocaust that preceded the establishment of the State of Israel brought Klal Yisrael to the depths of despair. One could consider the collective numbers of the Holocaust. 6 million Jews perished. 2/3 of European Jewry perished. 3 million Polish Jews perished, which was 90% of Polish Jewry. But one could also look at individual towns and cities. Jewish communities were obliterated throughout Europe. Communities that existed for even 1,000 years were destroyed. Yeshivas, Bat Negesias, and Bat Midrashas were completely destroyed. Let's consider one example. Let's consider just one example, but this took place throughout Europe. Let's consider the city of Brisk. Brisk the Lita, a great city. There were 60,000 residents in pre-war Brisk. One half, 30,000 were Jews. Only a very small amount survived. A handful of Jews from Brisk survived. About 2 weeks ago, there was an article in the New York Times about Brisk. Not about Brisk HaTorah, but about Brisk. They refer to it as Brest. Brisk was called Brest-Litovsk. Now it's in Belarus. It's called Brest. What happened? There was a construction of a luxury apartment project, and while they were digging, they found human bones. The construction site yielded the bones of 1,214 people. So the New York Times consulted a historian that's familiar with the area and the Holocaust, someone by the name of Mr. Rosenblatt, and this is what the New York Times said. This was the end of April, New York Times. I'm quoting from New York Times. Jews made up about half Brest's population of around 60,000 in 1941 and were thought to have been killed mostly in a secluded forest 70 miles east. They had been taken there by rail in an early test of logistics for Hitler's final solution. Most of the remains on the site, Mr. Rosenblatt said, were probably of Jews who had initially managed to hide or flee, but were then captured after the Nazis destroyed Brest Jewish ghetto in October 1942. That's the end of the quote from New York Times. So the Jews of Brest were killed. What about the Bat Negesias? They were destroyed. There's nothing left. There was in Brest what was called the Groyser Shul. Now, in English it's referred to as the Great Synagogue of Brest. It was a huge structure, beautiful. I've seen pictures of it. It was a six-sided stone structure. So what happened to the Groyser Shul? The Nazis turned it into a warehouse to store goods they confiscated from Jews. In 1959, the shul's original six-sided stone was enclosed by a circle glass construction to hide its original form and turned into a cinema. This is what the Soviets did. They turned it, they enclosed it so you don't even see the structure, the beautiful structure of basic classes. It doesn't look like a basic classes anymore. It looked like a beautiful basic classes. They enclosed it in a circle glass construction. It doesn't have its six-sided form anymore. To hide its original form and turn it into a cinema. So it's a movie theater. Hebrew writing is preserved in one place. In a room on the ground floor, which is converted into a toilet. This is the state of the Groyser Shul in Brisk. This was the state as a result of the Holocaust. The old Jewish cemetery in Brisk. In 1941, there were 10,700 grave markers that were registered. It was totally destroyed by the German army. In 1941-42, that's when they destroyed it. Nothing was spared. In 1959, the Soviets turned it into a soccer field. They recycled the headstones and used them in their road surfaces and pavements. There was one Jew who survived the war who came back to live in Brisk. I've read about it. His name was Shlomo Weissman. He said that when he came back to Brisk, he didn't find one Jew that he could recognize. He only recognized the dogs and the cats. But he kept track of where things were. So now there are certain kfarim that we know where they are because Shlomo Weissman pointed out exactly where. So we know where the Beis HaLevi's cavern. There's no Matseva, and it's outside of the Saka field. But the Beis HaKvaris doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anymore. Menachem Begin came from Brisk. And how did he survive? He was in Warsaw at the time the Germans invaded Poland. He was involved in the Zionist movement, and he was in Warsaw at the time. He escaped to Vilna when the Germans invaded Poland. In Vilna, he was arrested by the Soviets in September 1940 and accused of being an agent of British imperialism. That's how he survived. And he 30 years after the Brisk community was destroyed, there was some ceremony, a memorial, and he made a speech. He made a speech in memory of those that lived in Brisk. I'm just going to quote isolated phrases, not even in a continuous way. And he recalls in this, the Grois HaShul, what he calls in Hebrew, the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol. He recalls the inspiration that the masses had. He said, Kazot HaYetai Ir HaNurim Shalanu, Hi Enena Od, Lo Olam Lo Nashuv Od Eileha. Charav Olamenu, Lo Yekum Od Olamim, Lo Nava Od Berchavotea Shal Brisk, Ein Ba Yehudi, Ein Ba Bishulenu Muma, Yesh Rak, Zecher Ha'efer Shepuzar, Ve'ineni Yodim Heichanu, Aval Yesh Yom O'Layla, Bo Kefi Shani Meniach, Kol Echad Meitanu, Odenu Be'ir Hanurim. He says there are times when every one of us, we imagine as if we're still in our city of our youth. Hine ani zocher ad hayom, bizikaron hashmiya, et ma shekaranu, b'safa hayishana ya'alot shel kol nidrei. Apparently they called the tefillah of Ya'ala rinoneinu me'erah, they called it Ya'alot. He says, I still remember how in the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol they would sing with great inspiration this song, Ya'ala tachrinoneinu me'erah, yavo shavasenu iboka, v'yareinu ad arav. Ad hayom ani shomea et kola. And then he speaks about hearing in the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol, Habein Yakar Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim, Ki Midei Dabri Bo Zachor Es Karenu, the part of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And then he describes how the entire Tzibur would come to the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol, the Grois HaShul on Yom HaKippurim, Vet Balei HaMlacha Ha'omdim Miminu Yismol, La'ever Delet HaKnisa Vet Kol HaKahal, HaTamim HaTahar HaKadosh, Hamid Parnes Bekoshi, Hachai Bedachkut, Hamekim Bayit Katon Emiladim, Uvo Avat Eim Bekibra Avahim. He describes the Jews, Tmimim Tahorim and Kedoshim, that they struggled for Parnassa, and yet they raised Jewish families. Families where there was an atmosphere of motherly love, Avat Eim Bekibra Avahim. And then he describes the great light in this Beit HaKnesset, the spiritual light, Avalo Or Hu Kol Kach Gadol B'Beit HaKnesset Hazeh, Shom Migova Mimerchakim Me'ezrat HaNashim. He describes how he would see his mother peering down from the Ezrat HaNashim. HaNifredet Ba'ad HaCharakim Mistakelet Imah, Kol Amoseinu, Amoseinu, all our mothers, Ve'hin Mitpalalot, they would pray for their husbands, for their children. And describes the spiritual iteration that the Tzibur absorbed in the Beit HaKnesset. And what's left? What's left of Brisk? What's left? Efer HaPuzar, ashes that are spread out, we don't even know where it is. What's left? A Beit HaKnesset HaGadol that's turned into the movie theater, that if you want to find any Hebrew words, it's in a room downstairs that functions as a toilet. That's what's left. This is what's left. And this is one example, but this is a story that repeated itself in city after city and town after town throughout Europe. How could the Jews be comforted after such a catastrophe? Who would comfort them? How could there be any consolation and comfort after such a catastrophe? Town after town, city after city was so utterly destroyed. But the Navi tells us, Ki isha asher imot nachamenu, kein enochi anachemchem Yerushalayim tenuchamu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the mother of Klal Yisrael, provided comfort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael control of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the founding of the state of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the survival of the state, the growth of the state, and the achievements of the state. HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us possession of Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided Klal Yisrael with nechama after Klal Yisrael descended into the depths of despair. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also our Father. He is our mother that provides comfort, but He is our Father. He's our teacher. He's the Melamed Torah Am Yisrael. We appeal to Him daily as our Father. We appeal to Him, Abba Rab Avtanu, you have shown such love to us by giving us the Torah. We appeal to Him as our Father to enable us to study and understand the Torah. Avinu Avar Rachaman, Am Rachem Rachem Aleinu. The same V'li Yibeinu Lo Avinu Laskil Lishmol V'Alameid. Through the medium of Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated an explosive growth of Torah worldwide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reached out to His children and enabled them to be uplifted through Eretz Yisrael. We have seen Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His relationship as a mother through Eretz Yisrael and His relationship as a father through Eretz Yisrael. So while it's true that physically the great Torah centers of Eretz Yisrael no longer exists, Bris doesn't exist, and all the Torah centers of Europe no longer exist. But the Torah exists. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enabled the Torah to flourish. Bris physically doesn't exist, but Bris flourishes. And the same is true of all the other Torah centers of the European towns and cities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has found a way to provide nechama and enable the Torah to grow. Through Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demonstrated His Ava for Kadosh Baruch Hu, for Klal Yisrael as a mother and as a father. And we have to be grateful and express our gratitude to Kadosh Baruch Hu for showering us with love as a father and as a mother. We vizocha the fulfillment of the prophetic vision of Amos that we will read this Shabbos, the Haftorah of Achrimos, that we will read this Shabbos according to Minhag Ashkenaz on Parshas Kedoshim. When it hatim ad masam, v'lo yinatshu od me'ad masam, v'shenasatilhem amar Hashem l'kecha, I will implant them upon the land. They will not be uprooted again from upon the land that I have given them.